I thank God that he uses all of us in different manners. International Sunday is very dear to me because we're all different. Did you know that? Aren't you glad that you're all a little bit different? Aren't you glad that you're not all like me? This would be a very sad place if I saw those hands. I saw all those hands. It would be a very sad place if everybody was like me. Let's just be honest. But I love International Sunday. So why do we do this? Why do we celebrate International Sunday twice a year? Well, first of all, it's to celebrate, because I think we really should celebrate diversity, that we are, in fact, all different, and that needs to be celebrated. Secondly, it's to educate, and we really do want to educate each other on what is culturally acceptable and what we do within our culture. So today we were, if you didn't realize it, we were highlighting not just one culture, but an entire continent, the continent of Africa. And you saw a few different things here this morning that highlighted Africa. You know, it's interesting because a few years ago, I was in Naivasha. My aunt's here this morning from Kenya. And we were in Naivasha, and we were at Helping Hands at the complex that they have established there. And I found it interesting because there are 8 different people groups that are actually working on that compound. 8 different people groups. Now, me being the pasty white Canadian, I walked in there, and you know, I couldn't tell the difference between the Luos and the Kikuyus. I honestly couldn't. I knew later on that they were warring tribes and they didn't really like each other, but there was a number of diverse different groups on there. But you know what I found very interesting is though there were different nationalities or different people groups there, they were working together. They were working together on that site. And I thought about the continent of Africa and I thought, man, you know, the whole continent today is quite an amazing place. There are 54 different countries on that continent. There are over 3,000 distinct ethnic groups on that continent with 2,000 languages. That's diverse. That's very, very diverse. Actually, it's the most genetically diverse group of people on the earth. And yet, in many places, they can work together. I think that's something that should be very indicative of the church today, working together, though we come from different places in this world. Unity amongst the diversity. And I want us to take some time today to take a look at what this really looks like here today. Unity amongst diversity. We're going to look at a portion of scripture found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. But before we read this, I think it would be very prudent for us to take just a moment this morning. And before we get into the Word of God, to think of our own nation today. We've had some awful things happen in the last little while. We had what was happening in Saskatchewan. We've been praying for them. And now what happened in Toronto, the many that were killed there. Folks, we got a lot of, our nation needs Jesus, doesn't it? Yes. So we're gonna stop before we get into this. Let's just take a moment to pray specifically for those in Toronto that have lost loved ones and continue to pray for those in Saskatchewan. So Father, we thank you for diversity. We thank you for our nation. We thank you for what you are doing in different places. But we know that as you are moving, the enemy is moving as well. And we know, God, that as you want to draw people to yourself and people together, the enemy wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Lord, I pray for those that have lost loved ones in the last little while. We think of those in Saskatchewan and the tragedy that happened there. But now, Lord, we think about Toronto. Father God, for the many that are grieving today, that have lost in such a tragic, tragic situation. Oh, God, I pray that you would protect the families, that you would encourage them during this difficult time, and that, Lord, that you would surround them with godly people that would stand with them, encourage them, and pray with them, Father. Lord, we pray for our nation of Canada. I pray we would continue to be strong. I pray that we would continue to welcome people from different nationalities with open arms. And by God, that we as a church especially would love on them, would share the love of Christ, and we would work for unity even amongst diversity. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to call up my bride, and she's going to read this for us because I don't have my eyes right now. I left them in my office. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. You've been sitting for about 2.5 minutes. Why don't you stand for the reading of God's word here?
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned this. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Doesn't she read better than me? You know. Thank you. You may be seated. So, Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Now I pray as we take time to look into it, would you guide us in Jesus' name? Amen. When we talk about unity amongst diversity, there's a few things we've got to look at. First of all, we got to look at the grace in unity. The grace. See, there's seven graces or seven God-honoring qualities when you look at the first few verses that are mentioned here so that we can live a unified life. So let's run through them real quick. First of all, he says that there has to be humility. Someone once said that if you think you have humility, you've lost it, right? If you think you have humility, you've lost. It's putting Jesus first, others second, ourself last. You know how you know if you have humility or not? It's real simple. Listen to yourself speak. Honestly. Stop and listen to what you're saying to people around you. Are you speaking more about yourself or are you listening and responding about what's going on in other people's lives? Humility, it's something I think is lacking in a lot of places in our society. Would you agree? We need humility, especially when we have unity. Secondly, it talks about gentleness. Gentleness is power under control. I love this picture. It's a picture of a lioness carrying her cub in her mouth. Now, how many of you know that one little chomp and that thing's gone, right? It doesn't take much before that thing. She can do a lot of damage with those teeth of hers. But it's power under control. I'm wondering, how do we come across when we talk to other people around us? I wonder if our language is more like, now this is a piece of cloth that my wife uses for cleaning her glasses. Don't tell her that I have it. I think it belongs to her. Maybe it doesn't. But do we come across more like a nice soft cloth? Feel this, Pastor Les. This is nice. Just feel that. Isn't this nice? Yeah. Ooh. Or do we come across like sandpaper? You want to feel it? No. I'm wondering how our language comes across. How we deal with people around us. Is it more like a gentle way or is it more like sandpaper? See, I'm not saying that everything we say should be fluffy and doesn't have weight to it, nor am I saying that we shouldn't confront. We do need to confront at times, don't we? But when we confront, when we have to deal with issues, can we deal with it in a way that is gentle or does it have to be abrasive? So gentleness, important quality. Thirdly, is patience. Now, let me tell you, folks, I'm not good with this one. In certain places, I can do this. You give me a fishing rod, I can stand there for hours. You're giving me a steering wheel and a car, I've got issues. Anybody with me? Could you please pray for me? I need help in this area. But patience is something that we often don't have a good time with. Patience is literally the ability to endure discomfort without fighting back. Endure discomfort without fighting back. It means holding a tongue at times and not saying what you should be saying or what you want to say, or sitting on your hands when you want to use them for other gestures, which none of us Christians ever do, right? But being patient and not retaliating in a negative way. He goes on and talks about forbearance or bearing with each other. What this means literally is to go up to somebody and to hold them. You got to get up. You got to get up. You hold them up, right? And help them. I love this picture because it's a picture of two girls. You maybe have remembered this. They were in a race, and one of the girls, they're in a 300-meter race, and she got a cramp, and she went down. You remember this? Remember that? And she went down, and her opponent went beside her, grabbed her, and helped her across the finish line ahead of her. See, that's bearing one another up. There's times it's not easy to do it. How many of you know that there are things that are in people around you that drive you crazy? How many of you know that there are things in you that drive other people crazy? So the truth is we have to bear with each other, even those problems, those idiosyncrasies, those things that are hard to put up with. Forbearance is an important quality in unity. Fifth, he talks about bearing with one another in love. Love. The word here is agape, unconditional. Don't you love that picture of a cheetah and a dog? I love that. The most unreasonable animals coming together. They actually were, these two animals grew up together in a game farm, I think down in some place in Africa. It's an interesting story. Won't get into it. But unconditional love. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't always have the warm fuzzies for certain people. Last week, we talked about how times we get rebuked. And it's not a fun thing to get rebuked when we do something wrong. But love is being willing to care and love even when it's not easy to do so. This is what God is calling us. This is the kind of stuff that is needed to keep us unified. You gotta love me. I'm sorry, sometimes it may not be easy. And I have to love you, and we have to love each other. So love is an important quality. Endurance, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, I'm doing some training for running. Last year, my son and I ran the marathon. And you know, I can tell you this, when we were running last year, the thing that kept me going was that he was running beside me. Having somebody run with you makes a huge difference. Please pray for me because next week is the marathon. So I'll be running it in half the marathon next week. So please pray that I don't die. But the important thing is being there for each other, being there to help each other along. I use this verse many times when I do weddings. And I tell the couples in pre-marriage counseling, I tell them, listen, it's not going to always be easy. How many of you know it's not, man, don't put up your hands. How many of you know it's not always going to be easy in a relationship? It takes endurance. It takes time to say, we will make this work even through the difficult times. That's got to be the same in our relationship as a body of believers. It's not always going to be easy, but we got to be running together. You got to be running together. There needs to be there needs to be peace in unity. The one commentary that I went to said that peace is the glue that bonds unity, bonds all these other things together. In the Bible, peace is not the absence of war, but peace is the presence of God in a harmonious relationship between two people or two parties. It's having Christ as the center of every relationship. It's like the third strand in a braid, having Christ woven through our relationship. That is so incredibly important. Listen, there's going to be things that are going to get you angry about someone, but if we can keep Christ in the center, it'll keep us unified. So there has to be unity. There has to be a commitment to each other. There has to be graces, and these are the qualities that are required. But why do we need it? What are the grounds for unity? Well, let's jump to verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 4. He says this, "There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all." Do you see a word in there that's repeated a few times? The word one. Repeat it in there. You can count it. It's up there 7 times. Now, I'm thinking if God repeats a word a few times, we probably should take note of it. You agree? So he's telling us if there's going to be oneness, there has to be something that goes along with that. Why should we be unified? And he starts by saying, because there is one body, one body. Paul talked about the church, of course, you all know this, that are members of one body but have different parts in the body. There's the nose, there's the ears, there's the hands. You know what I would love to be? If I could put myself in the body, you know what I'd love to be? I'd love to be the eyes. Because I can just observe and I don't have to say anything. But we have a part to play in the body. And let me tell you something, those parts got to work together. Can you imagine if the foot decided to go that way and the arm decided to go this way? We got a problem here, right? And how many times does that happen in the body of Christ where one decides to go that way, one decides to go that way, and there is a straining there? And it shouldn't be like that. By the way, off topic just a wee bit. Mark Lowry, he's a Christian comedian, talking about the foot. He had to have a graft done in his leg. They grafted in a bone. Apparently, he had got into an accident. And he said one time, he says, "You know, I'm wondering, when Jesus comes back, I'm wondering if the person that I got the bone from was a believer." He says, "Because if I'm going up to heaven and he wasn't a believer, I wonder if my leg's going to stay behind. I just thinking." Anyways, I digress. But we are all part of one body. See, here's the thing, folks. Jesus is not polygamous. Hear me. Jesus has one bride. And that is his church. And we have to be unified in that body because that's how Scripture refers to his bride as being the body of Christ. Why unity? Well, because we are one body. Secondly, why unity? Because there is one spirit that comes in every one of us when we've committed our life to Jesus. He doesn't give multiple spirits. He has one spirit. And I think if there's the same spirit that's in you and you and you and you and you and you is in me, that should unite us, shouldn't it? We have one spirit. We have one hope. When we were called, God called us to a living assurance that we will be with him through all eternity. Come on, isn't that great? What a hope we have that we will be with him through all eternity. And this is for all Christ followers. Now, let me tell you, we're talking about Africa here today. If you were born in Africa, okay, Sally, just because you were born in Tanzania doesn't mean you're going to have an air conditioning place in heaven and others won't, okay, because you have to endure heat on this planet. We will all enjoy the greatness of heavens together. Just because you're Pentecostal doesn't mean you got a better place in heaven than the Baptists. Though sometimes we think that way. We think because we're a little bit better than the other person or the other group or whatever. That's not the way it works. We all have one hope. One hope, and that is together we will be with Christ in his glory. We have one Lord, one master that we follow. I find it interesting that as believers, if we are all following the same Lord, why there should be division? You know, Gandhi was asked one time, many years ago, what is the greatest hindrance to Christianity in India? You know what he said? He said, the greatest hindrance is Christians. And I thought, man, that's really sad. That's really sad because, see, here's the thing. Because we have one Lord, because we are part of his body, we should be the example to everyone around of unity and of strength and of togetherness, of love and compassion and caring for each other. It should be so out there, so obvious in everything we do. Even when somebody rubs us the wrong way, we should still choose to love because God chose to love us when we rubbed him the wrong way, didn't he? Didn't he? When we sinned against him, he chose to love us. We have one faith, one faith. I know there are different interpretations of this book. Some people, they look at end times as we call it eschatology. They look at end times differently than other people do. Some people, they look at certain things when it comes to theological issues, little things and little difference. Some people think Adam had a belly button. Some people think he didn't. It didn't really matter. We have different things that we differ on. But one thing I'm so glad about is that our faith is unified. It's built on the fact that there is one Lord, Jesus Christ, who came to this planet, who walked for 33 and a half years, who did ministry for 3.5 of those years, who died on the cross, who rose again, who set a place for us to be for all eternity in heaven. And we can stand on that. You know what I find so exciting is Wednesday noon, because I get to hang out with some incredible pastors. Don't tell me ask me what denomination they're from, because I don't know. They're from all sorts of denominations, but we hang together, we pray together, we worship together, and we intercede for the city together. We are unified. Why? Because we have one faith, and we base our entire existence on that faith in Christ. There was one baptism. Last week, we had a water baptism. Wasn't that great? Oh my goodness, I'm so thankful when young people give their hearts to the Lord and follow him in water baptism. It's a wonderful picture of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:13. He says this, "For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink." See, here's the thing. As when people went down into the waters in baptism and they were enveloped by water, so the Spirit wants to come upon us and envelop us and surround us. We get the Spirit. We get the Spirit at conversion when we give our lives to Jesus. But he fills us and renews us and enriches us when we ask for his infilling. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in it. And I believe we need it not just once. But I believe we need it on a regular basis. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Paul says, do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery, but be what? Filled continuously. Means a continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we need that. And it's not just one group of people that get it. Not just Jews and Greeks and Germans, hallelujah, or slaves or free. But every one of us needs that infilling of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need unity? Because there's one baptism. Why do we need unity? Because there's one God and one Father overall. You know, I'm so grateful for my upbringing. My dad's here this morning. I love my dad very, very much. And he's shown me a lot of stuff. Yeah. Give him a hand. He doesn't like that, but give him a hand anyway. But he showed me a lot of stuff about how to live a proper life in my young years and so forth. And I still love going over there and talking to them and phoning them once or twice a week. I love the picture of God as Father. It means a lot to me. I know some people don't have that same intimate relationship with their father as others may, but I love that picture. See, here's why. Because it shows an intimacy. It shows a commitment of a dad to his kids. It shows that of a healthy relationship. It shows how God relates to us as a good, healthy father relates to his kids. I love Romans chapter 8. It says this, "For you," and you know this one, "for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. By him we cry," what? "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, you know this. You know what this means. The term Abba, Father was one of the first words that a child would say would be dada or abba in the Greek culture at that time, because there was a connection there. God wants to have a connection with us, folks. He wants to have that connection, that deep, intimate connection with us, so that we can come to him as a child. Hebrews 10, oh man, I love Hebrews 10, because it gives us a picture of us walking into the very presence of our dear Heavenly Father, of us sitting down at his throne. Can you picture it? Sitting down beside him at his throne and just listening to him and him listening to us. Like a good dad would listen to his kids after a day of school or so forth. So God wants to have that intimate relationship. Why do we need unity? Because we got one dad. Amen. We got one dad and we are family. Come on, sing it. Every sister, join in with me or whatever the song goes. We are part of his great family. Seven pretty solid grounds for unity. So we looked at what it is, why we need it. I want to end by looking at how we should be displaying it, the gifts of unity, how they should be displayed in the church. And this is probably the diversity when it comes to that whole aspect of unity. Verse 11, it says this, it was he who gave some to be apostles. An apostle is one who is sent out with a commission, who is sent out into the world to do some work, especially in areas that are very difficult to work in. I know some people that are apostles today that would go into a city where the church was in a mess. It was in shambles, and they would go in there, these pastors or these apostles would go in there and they would restore. We need apostles. He gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be prophets. You remember a few years ago, what was it, 2-3 years ago when Russ Klein, thank you. Russ Klein came here and he definitely has a prophetic ministry. He came here and he talked into individuals' lives, and I'm walking beside him and I'm like, how does he know this? Well, there's only one way he knows it. It's because he has a relationship with God. Lenore, I didn't like some of the things he said there, because we lost Henry and Rosanna because of that. But anyways, God had called them to move on. But we do have people with a prophetic ministry in the churches, and we need them. We need evangelists. We need evangelists. Are you with me? By the way, you all should be an evangelist in some capacity, right? We all should be called by God to take the message of hope to a world that needs it. Not just Billy Graham, as great as he was, but you and I working out to bring that message to people around. We need evangelists. We need pastors. Okay, again, you need me. Thank you. I need you. But you know what a pastor is? A pastor is a shepherd. And see, I'm thinking God has called you to shepherd in some area as well in your lives, right? Maybe Leonard is shepherding your own family. Maybe whatever it is, where God has called you to shepherd, we need that. And we need some to be teachers as well. Hallelujah for our teachers. Okay, can I encourage you with something? When you ever get a chance and you see our teachers upstairs come down, just give them a big high five or give them a hug and say, man, we love you, we appreciate you, because it's not an easy job. And some of the kids, some of your kids that are up there, they're not easy kids. Let me just be honest, right? But we need all of these people to work together in the body. But we all have a different calling. We all have a different responsibility. What's the purpose? Why are these put there? And I love what Paul said. He gave all these to prepare, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Hallelujah. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. See, God's put you in the body with your diverse opportunities and your diverse giftings and so forth for the purpose to build one another up and to be engaged in bringing the message of hope out there to the community. Man, I am so blessed by those that were out yesterday when we went out to Cedar Gardens. Man, God bless you. It was pouring rain. It was ugly. our alpha program didn't work, and we forgot the burgers, and somebody had to run back, thanks Tim, wherever you are, run back to get burgers, and we're sitting there and going, oh God, could it get any worse? And it got worse because Tim got here and the alarm went off and it was a mayhem. But I'm so thankful for those that committed to say, how can I be involved? Can I just brag on that just for a minute? See, I believe that when we are doing our task, what God has called us to do, there is some great fruit. And God uses it. And you know, yesterday again, we had an opportunity to share with some people, broken people. One young lady I had a chance to share with, just weeping before me. And I was able to pray with her about the situation. I can't get into it, but when I was done praying, you should have seen her. Just, okay, I can do this. And then there was those that went out. This is great. They went out knocking on doors, and one of the doors they knocked onto, they came to a gal who was not a medium, but yeah, no, she yeah, that's what she was, that's what she did. But she was a spiritual advisor of some sort, okay? But what she did is she got advice from animals. Hallelujah. She told these ladies that she had a wrecked leg and her cat came and healed it for her. There's all sorts of wonderful people in our world and they need Jesus. They need you. They need me. But see, here's the thing. We can't be effective unless we are unified. Because if there are problems in the body, and if one, like I said before, a hand is going that way and a foot is going that way, we're being torn apart, it's not going to work well. I'm grateful that God has put us together as a unified body here today. I'm thankful for the diversities that we have culturally. I'm thankful for the your thinking. I love it that we all have different ways of thinking. I'm thankful that God has put us together as partners to work together towards building his kingdom. But I want to end by asking you this. In your relationships with others around you, when you're faced with the challenges of diversity, how are you doing as far as working towards unity? Are there areas where it's the sandpaper thing and you're sitting there and you're going, man, I don't even want to get near that person. You know what I've discovered, and I'm not all that old, but what I've discovered through the years is sometimes the people that rub me the hardest actually smoothen out some of my roughest edges. Do you know what I'm saying? And I've learned that even those people that have rubbed me the hardest, I've developed a good relationship with them. Don't negate the fact that God has put people into your life. Though they may be difficult to be around, maybe the very people that God is using to strengthen you and make you a better believer. So I want to encourage you today, examine your relationships. Examine the way you deal with other people at work, in your home, in your church. Are we working towards unity? I'm going to call the team up. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now that you would show us in our lives if there are areas that we really need to work on when it comes to our relationships with others. Help us to remain unified, Father. Help us to remain committed to each other as a body of believers. I thank you for the diversity that's in this room right now, that you have brought us from different cultures, different places in the world, from different experiences, different language groups, different age groups. Thank you that we can be together here to worship you, to worship you unified. Lord, would you continue to build that unity? Continue to make us strong in you, to serve you faithfully, to remain true to you. And Lord, as we continue to celebrate you and the diversities as we go downstairs and enjoy the many different dishes that have been prepared. I pray blessing on that food. I pray blessing on our time down there. And I pray, God, that we would develop new relationships and friendships, even today, even this afternoon, as we take some time just to eat together, to share together, and Lord, to honor you in whatever way we can. Thank you, Father. You're a good God, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name.